and thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Before I get preaching, we got a number of people watching online. And it's funny, Pastor Michael brought that story up. I went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, the same as if you went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting. We hadn't talked or anything. And I had just come straight back from Alaska, and this was 2014 or so. So it was back when you had to be careful not turning your data on your phone because nothing was included in the plan. So Alaska was like on its own thing. So I had my phone turned off. I made it just in time for the service. I think I landed at 6:20, got my bags, came straight to the service. It was like 11 hours of travel that day. So I had on like a button-up shirt and jeans and boots, the boots that like zip up on the side that were like beat up. I looked like somebody that just got thrown out of a methadone clinic. No offense if that applies to anyone here, but point is I didn't look good. So I went and sat. Back then I'd sit like row 7, wherever. And the ushers came and got me and said, Pastor Rodney wants you to sit on the front row. I thought, well, that's nice. So my goal for that service was to keep my eyes open because I was exhausted. So I had my phone off, and then Pastor Rodney got up, and it reminded me, both you telling the story of me preaching and then what happened. He said, we have one of the greatest evangelists in America here today. So when I heard that, I got excited because I knew Reinhard Bonnke lived in Orlando back then, and I knew he came there and taught at the Bible school sometimes. So I thought, oh, this is awesome. And I think, I'm trying to think what other evangelist was around there that time. That I was like, man, if they're there, that's great. And he said, he's going to receive the offering. I want you to welcome to the platform Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Now, I'm telling you, if you got called up to preach, however you'd feel, it would be. I didn't even have a Bible with me. So what had happened was he had texted me that I'm going to have you take the offering tonight, but I never got the text. So I walked up to the platform, and he went to take his Bible off the platform and hand me the mic, and I took my hand and knocked the Bible out of his hand and kept it on the podium because I didn't have a Bible. And then if you watch the video, I said, now turn in your Bible to, and there's about a 5-second pause as I tried to remember a book of the Bible and how many chapters it had. And that was how I started preaching there. I was telling Pastor Michael, do you know this church broke its attendance record on Sunday morning? Amen. Yeah. And the record that it broke was set when?
2 months ago.
Yeah, 2 months ago. So this church is on the move. And I know we've been having people come around. We've got Pastor James and Cheryl Moffitt from Indio, California, and many, many other great men and women of God. So I'm not trying to steal people from other churches to come to Pastor Michael's church, but I am telling you, if you come into these meetings in the area, or if you're watching in California, you know, you say, well, there's no good churches here. This I can vouch for Pastor Michael. I've known him a long time, and you have a church here in, what town are we in? Redlands, California. So, as you can hear, my name's Shuttlesworth, not Rand McNally. So we're in Redlands, California, and you have an option. And then if you're near Indio, I've preached at that church, Pastor James and Cheryl Moffitt, and that's another great church. And California has actually, you know, I feel it's important to say this because people, Christians feel like California, even Californians feel California's far gone. There was a lady that came up to me at Pastor Rodney's conference earlier this year, I think it was in January, and she said, I need you to pray for California. The devil owns that place. I said, well, if the devil owns it, there's no use us praying. I said, if that's going to be your confession, you're wasting my time. I would change my confession that my feet are there, and wherever the soles of my foot will tread, I'm on land that God's given to me. She said, you're right. So I think people have been so beaten down, but you know, we had more people Monday morning than Sunday morning in this church, this morning. It's amazing on a Monday morning to have as many people as we did, and then God's been moving. How many of you were here and saw that lady's deaf ears come open last night when the Lord swung me off my message? And how many of you were here last night? How God swung me to Mark chapter 9, preaching about the deaf point, telling those stories about women's deaf ears coming open, and lo and behold, there was a lady there that needed that. Is that video queued up? Have them roll it real quick. You have to tell them. Yeah, okay, go ahead and play. You were running, so I didn't know if you didn't know about texting information or 5 minutes, 5 seconds. I don't understand why it has to be communicated by running. I feel like we've gone back to the Pony Express. I don't feel like any running should have to be done. What do you have to communicate by Morse code to the media team? Series of dots and dashes. Go ahead. Start it over and turn the volume up.
What did you have trouble hearing? Tell me what was wrong with your hearing. What did you have trouble hearing?
Period. I was losing my hearing, and also I had air noise in both ears. And the doctor said it was an infection, but the medication didn't work. And tonight the Lord healed me.
How can you tell your hearing's better?
Because I can hear you clearly.
I have a set message, and then I'd have 3 points like you're taught in Bible school. And I like that kind of preaching. I've been trying to preach like that for almost 20 years. And people flow differently. But I'm not one of those people that thinks, I actually don't think anyone should do what I do. I heard a young guy coming to Bible college and said, I'm going to do what you do. I said, don't do what I do. So how can you get away with it? I don't know. But I can. I don't know that anyone else could. I used to have points that started with the same letter. I actually like that kind of preaching. It's easy to remember. And so I would attempt to do that. And then what would happen? I still remember the time where it clicked with me, how the Holy Spirit was flowing. I was preaching about something totally different than, say, I was standing like here. I said, God can heal anything, no matter how severe it is. People nodded their head. It was a little town in Pennsylvania, Millersburg, Pennsylvania. And I said, I don't care. And when I said that, I wasn't talking about healing. So I was like, man, why are you going? Because they call that, in Bible school, they call that going off on a rabbit trail. But what I started to find was, I actually was leaving the rabbit trail and going on to the main trail. So I said, I didn't know that though at the time. I said, I don't care if a team of doctors from Johns Hopkins University stood in front of you and told you that you're going to die. If Jesus says you're going to live, then you can live. Yeah. So when I said that, no one said amen or anything. They didn't even do what you did. I mean, you're just hearing a secondhand story. That's why, you know, don't knock Californians to me. You're hearing about something that happened 16 years ago. And this place is so, amen. Amen. Californians are hungry. God's going to touch you tonight. Amen. So even, number one, I thought, why in the world am I talking about healing? That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. Number two, I thought, why did I say Johns Hopkins University? Because that is in Maryland. And I thought, you know, the closest hospital there, I think, would be it's called Holy Spirit Health Network in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I thought, I should have used like a local illustration, but it just popped out. So the pastor's wife came up to me after with her like mouth open. She said, did you know that guy that you were standing in front of? I said, I barely know you. I got here this morning. And she said, I drive school bus as a side job to supplement our income at the church. She said, that guy that you were standing in front of, his daughter, it would always invite him to church and he wouldn't come. And she told me, my dad just went to the hospital locally and they found cancer. So they sent him to Johns Hopkins University, and he just had a team of doctors in Maryland stand in front of him and tell him, we got your reports back, and that you're not even treatable. You're going to die. And she said, when you stopped in front of him, you went on that rant about, I don't care if a team of doctors from Johns Hopkins University told you you're going to die, you're going to live. Well, when that happened, that's when I started to realize, that's one thing, you just start thinking about something you watched on Fox News and sounding off about it. But when you're preaching and you start hitting a vein like last night, where for whatever reason I felt to go into Mark 9 and talk about Jesus casting the devil out of that boy that was deaf and his ears coming open, and then giving examples with it, that God has a flow for every service. My Uncle Ted called me one time because I called him. I was like confused about what I did because I was preaching at the Pennsylvania Delaware District Youth Camp for the Assemblies of God, and I was getting my message ready. And I felt the Lord speak to me in the speaker's cabin. Like the most specific word of knowledge that I thought was like a weird inappropriate word of knowledge for the setting, because the youth director has you in the minister to the teenagers. There were 500 teenagers there, and the Lord spoke to me. There's a lot of youth pastors here that are getting ready to quit the ministry. They have good hearts. They followed me through Bible school. I mean, you think about it. Somebody went left home and went to Bible school for 4 years and then got licensed and went into the ministry. You're not dealing with a rebel. You're dealing with somebody that followed the call of God on their life. And the Lord said, they're getting ready to resign the ministry because the churches they're at don't pay them anything. And their in-laws are putting pressure on them. You know, what are you going to do about my daughter? What are you going to do about my grandkid? You guys are living in the church basement or wherever they're putting people. You know, you're 26 now. You have to do something. This is Brandon Brim in the front row, and then that's Pastor Michael. I was telling them, just so you know, he's 33, he's 34. I said, when I was 33 and 34, I had nothing, not anything. I didn't have any building. I didn't have anything like this. I didn't have leased building. I didn't have rented property. I had a car that was unregistered because I couldn't afford to get the repairs done. So, you know, you see people sometimes in their freaking pink suit jacket or whatever, and you think they had an easy life and that everything's always been like that. You know, with God, you stay, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall, not you might, you shall reap a reward if you don't give up and quit. When the devil knows that payday is on the 30th, he tries to get you to walk off the job at day 28. Well, if it would have happened, it would have happened by now. But I'm telling you, when you find what God has called you to do, bury your feet in on that lane and refuse to let anything move you out. Huh. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of youth pastors getting ready to quit because they don't have enough money. I want you to preach tonight. This is the other thing. And because that financial stress has opened a door in where a lot of the youth pastors' wives are battling either panic attacks, fear problems, or eating disorders. Because the worry, faith is a God magnet, worry is a devil magnet. And so I want you to deal with that tonight. Well, I thought, well, that's not, you know, Lord, I don't know if you know how youth camps work, but that's not what you're supposed to do. But I thought, well, I'll do what the boss says. So I got up that night. I'm trying to think what scripture I used. But whatever I took as my text, I preached on that, and then I started preaching about it. So I found out, you know, it's interesting how the Lord has me flowing even right now, because you see the operation of the word of knowledge, that you don't just have to pull somebody over in a grocery store and say, Lord shows me you have a sore back or whatever. You can actually preach out of the word of knowledge and flow that way. God knows everything. God knows the future better than we know the past. And if you tap into him, he'll give you pieces. That's why it's called, everybody say, word of knowledge. The gifts of the Spirit, three are vocal, tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Then you have revelatory gifts, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Anytime somebody's used like that, there's some idiot on the media that says, why don't he tell people what the lottery numbers are going to be tomorrow then? It's not God telling you everything he knows. If God put everything he knew in your brain, your head would blow off your shoulders. But he gives you, everybody say, word of knowledge. Now think of this with me. Samuel didn't even know which one of Jesse's sons was going to be king. And Samuel was no slouch. He was a real prophet, a powerful prophet. And if you'd have asked him on the way to Jesse's house, which son are you going to anoint? He'd have said, I don't know. All the Lord told him was, when you get there, have all the sons stand before me, and then I'll anoint one of them to be king. So then as they stood before him, so there you get into proximity of the anointing, that there is something, which is why Dr. Fauci tried to shut it down in the CDC, is because there is something about the proximity of the anointing and being in close to where the word is ministered. Can you say amen? And so as they presented themselves before him, then Samuel got clear on who the son was going to be. Well, I start preaching that message that night, and all of a sudden, this one youth pastor's wife starts crying. And I said, stand up. You know, you knew it hit the target. I said, stand up, lady, and come to the front. And she stood up and came to the front. She got about halfway. So if I was standing here, she was about halfway down the aisle. And I said, lift your hands. And I knew it was something as she got close, that when she, obviously the Lord was having me preach that, it hit home to her spirit. And I said, this attack that's come against your body out of that worry about how am I going to get provided for? And what am I going to do? I said, the Lord lifts that off of your life right now in Jesus' name. And when I pointed at her, now back then when I would lay hands on people, I almost never had anybody fall under the power, let alone point at them. I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I pointed, she fell over, no catchers, boom, hard, and starts crying. And I found out later, her husband told me a year and a half later, that as they came under that financial strain, his wife, who had got delivered from this when she was younger, went into bulimia again. And it was messing them up. They're going to have to leave the ministry. They're under financial strain. They're under health strain. And the Lord lifted that off her, and she never battled it again. So then as that hit her, you know what? I know I told you to queue up different videos. Grab that one from my Uncle Ted at Rod Parsley's church so people can see a strong manifestation of this. And then give me the thumbs up or whatever after you've tapped it in Morse code to the media team. I was coming to Southern California. I thought we were going to have increased technology. People running, literally running messages to people. When you throw a rock in the pond, the ripples go out. When a miracle hits, so then what will happen is when something like that happens, you look up. And now there's a bunch of ladies with their hands lifted crying because it hit home, and now it's busting out through the whole thing. So then I said, there are youth pastors and youth pastors' wives here that you actually had a discussion on your way to church tonight that this will be our last youth camp. We're going to have to make other plans because we can't live. You know, listening to Pastor Michael's story, that hits home because that happens. There is an attempt of the devil to choke people's finances out in the early phase of their ministry and the early phase of their Christianity. And I've told the story, if you've listened to me preach, how my dad's a great guy. I just had him preach Sunday morning at our church in the beginning of his ministry. My sister was born with a heart problem, and her and my mom had to stay in the hospital 31 days. We didn't have any insurance. It wasn't a choice to not have insurance. My dad made $3,000, not net, gross income, his first year in the ministry. And didn't make much more after that. We had no apartment. We lived on the road, and when we didn't have meetings, we'd go stay at his mom's house or my mother's mother's house. And so your wife and daughter are in the hospital. They bill you for both, 31 days. My dad's $52,000 in debt, making $7,000 a year. So he's got his faith out, but it didn't matter if you had your faith out because that denomination had a system where you got an honorarium, $100, $200, honey glazed ham, and a can of green beans from a farmer's farm. I'm telling you the truth. After a week of preaching, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, my dad was lighting places up. They'd have to build additions onto churches quickly because of how many people got saved. But then at the end, give you a check for $100, thank you. $200, thank you. My dad said, you know, he'd open the board, had heard from the Lord or whatever, and then you open it up, it's $100. Go to drive eight hours back home. And he said it was like the devil was sitting in the front seat with me, telling, hey, dummy, do the math. If you do that every week this year, you'll never be out of debt. You'll never have a house. You'll never be able to clothe your children. You'll never be able to feed your children. And then the Lord, my dad got a hold of Kenneth Hagin's books and started reading them. And when he did and started giving, the Lord gave my dad a revelation. Listen to this now. The Bible says, see if I won't open the windows of heaven. And then it can also be translated floodgates of heaven. I don't like picking between the two. I like them both. There is an opening of the floodgates of heaven where 1,000 days of labor and frustration are erased by one act of the hand of God. God's going to do that for people tonight in Jesus' name. This is going to be a mighty meeting. You're not going to stay at the same level. God is doing something in these meetings to lift California up out of a pit. You know, if you have like a C-minus knowledge of the Bible, that would be all you'd need to know. God actually enjoys when people run their mouths saying about what he can't do. So what's the state people find God least likely to move in? California. You got preachers telling California Christians, you need to leave the state. This place is a lost cause. Let me tell you something. If God wanted to send me to Yemen or Somalia, those places aren't lost causes. God sent one prophet reluctantly to Joppa, which was a completely pagan, no church, old covenant. And one sermon heaven caused every animal and every person to fast and pray for 40 days and receive revival. And California's not even in that shape. I have Abraham travels with me. I like having him travel with me because every time I call for him to do something, I feel like God. Abraham, come here. Except instead of asking for him to sacrifice his son, I just need like shampoo or something. So we were talking. We were listening to Brother Hagin on the way over to stir my spirit up about how many great meetings Smith Wigglesworth had, those great meetings that, you know, if you ever hear that story where Smith Wigglesworth wound up his fist and punched that guy in the stomach that had cancer and he popped up off the hospital bed with his attending physician, that didn't happen in Tulsa. That didn't happen in Dallas. That happened in San Francisco. Yeah. Brother Hagin had great meetings through Bakersfield in L.A. Great churches. The strongest church of God in Christ Church is in Los Angeles. The devil doesn't own California. The devil doesn't even, he doesn't even lease California. California, along with the rest of the earth. The heavens are the Lord's. The earth is his footstool. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. Yeah, people watch too much TV. Let me tell you something. I've been to California now for 36 hours, and I'm an expert on it. So let me teach you people some things. People watch too much television. You think everybody, you know, in California, everybody's gay. Everybody's homeless. Everybody's on drugs. I've gone to 2 coffee shops. There weren't even any gay people there yet. That's like a gay hangout. No, you're nervous to laugh. But your back of your heads are to the camera, so you can freely, you're not going to lose your jobs or anything. The only one that can, and if you're watching from the LGBTQIA and you think, he's anti-homosexual. If I was anti-homosexual, you think I'd wear this jacket? I'm trying to build a bridge here. Jesus wants you saved. Amen. It's the gayest jacket. You don't even have jackets this gay. Amen. Maybe I should stick to the notes a little more. No, everybody say, God's not finished with California. Somebody said, the best is yet to come. I've been here for 36 hours. I've been attacked by no, I haven't, 24 hours. I haven't been attacked by one homeless person. I haven't even had to fend off a homeless person. I've had pleasant experiences. People have been super nice. I told a guy that made me tacos today. I said, I don't know what happens to you people when you get to the East Coast and forget how to cook. I said, this food is like it was made in heaven. And so he made me something else. That's not even on the menu. He said, try this. Just pass it across the counter. That's nice. Yeah, California. I heard you're going to California. Are you doing any extra fasting or praying? No, I'm not. I'm doing extra eating. I'll do my fasting and praying in the Northeast where they don't season food. I actually laid out my smaller size coats for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then my fatter coats Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that I'm planning to eat myself into. Amen. Last suit coat I bought, guy said, you want a tail of this? I said, no, I'm going to California. I'm going to eat my way into it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No, I didn't come here expecting to get attacked. I was dealing with this morning. Spiritual warfare. Yeah. You know the problem? When you become a demon-minded Christian, you invite attack. You magnetize attack. But you know what? When I obey God, God opened the door to come to California. He didn't send me here to get a fever or get attacked by homeless people or to get slapped around by the devil. He sent me here to do the slapping around, to dislodge demonic powers, to set captives free. When I obey God, I don't expect a problem. I expect a miracle. I expect a blessing. Because when God calls you and you obey him, he calls you to bless you. God has a blessing with your name on it. He's got a blessing for your marriage. He's got a blessing for your children. He's got a blessing for your ministry. Go ahead and make some noise. You got 3 years of pent-up praise. Let it rip. God's going to shake California. I don't mean in the future. I mean starting now. Where's that family that came down from Vancouver? Are they here? Oh, I didn't mean to put him on the spot. Apparently didn't enjoy the sermon last night. We drove 14 hours to come see you, and we're driving straight back home. No, I'm sure they're here. You know, to have an invitation to go up there to Vancouver. You think San Francisco's liberal? Vancouver makes San Francisco look like 1930s Tulsa. They have legalized meth. Every drug is legal to do on a strip of land in Vancouver. There's meth available, heroin available, all provided by the government. They don't even do that in San Francisco, not yet. I think they're taking notes. Well, and I told, there was a lady, if you saw her, she's from Iraq originally, tough people. If you're a Christian in Iraq, you're like Rambo's brother. She's tough. And she started watching, checked the news and got turned on to our ministry, found out I had a sister and brother-in-law in Montreal. They started a home group during COVID that grew to about 40 people. Then my brother-in-law sent a pastor over, and they formalized, actually they installed the pastor formally. This all just happened last week. Montreal, where my brother-in-law is, you think California's liberal? Every Sunday during COVID, the police were outside the door and wrote a $1,000 ticket to every member of the family that came to church. Husband, wife, three kids, $5,000 to get in the door. Come in during church to check if people had masks on every Sunday. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, even in the USSR, it was illegal to come and interrupt a service. If you're preaching and somebody comes in, you might as well just throw down right there. Can you say amen? Government doesn't have the ability to come and disrupt the service. It's illegal. It's actually even illegal in Canada. Came in, I'm not going to get back into 2020 and 2021. So they'd come and do that. My brother-in-law stayed. You know, church ran down 300, 200, 110, because it's illegal. People don't want to get harassed by the cops and pay fines. But they kept going. Before COVID, they would have about 340 on a Sunday morning. They had 850 people two Sundays ago in a 450-seater. They had to put them in the lobby, put them everywhere else, and now it expanded out into Vancouver. Why? Because the devil may attack, but God has a plan to counterattack. And the results of the counterattack are always greater than the results of the attack. Yeah, I actually have scriptural grounds to believe that God is going to flip things in California. California Christians are compromised. No, they're not. Which ones do you know? I've met them. I had to make a heat map on our on a map of the United States in our office for where people partner with our ministry from. L.A. was like third. I've preached there one time to go preach to a family of seven. So how come Californians are tracking me down more than any other place that I've never preached and finding me online and giving money? And they don't have to give money. You're watching me online. I can't see you. You close the laptop. How come Californians are going out of their way to give to our ministry? I've never appealed to them. Nothing. Don't tell me it's a bunch of... There's great Christians in California. Strong Christians in California. Holy Ghost-filled believers in California. Devil should shut his mouth or he's going to get it shut for him. Can you say amen? Greater is he that lives in you than all of them that are in the world. Lord gave me that word. So they got a second church out of it. Lord gave me that word at that youth camp. More youth pastors' wives and youth pastors are getting touched than their kids got touched. Then you looked and the youth were all crying. And they started to slip out of their seats and touch their youth pastors and the wives and pray for them. And a move of God broke out. I left. I left at about 9:45 and went and got something to eat. And they told me it got over. They had to cancel the games afterwards and all that as everybody was crying and praying for their youth pastors. That guy got delivered. He's a senior pastor today. We still stay in touch. The devil may have attacked, but God has a plan to flip the attack. You don't have to end with that being the story. Well, you know, I used to believe like that, but then I had this happen. That's the devil's plan. Is for you to have something happen and then define your theology for the rest of your life off of that event. But no, never define your life or your theology off of a defeat. Define it from the Word of God. I said define it from the Word of God. I'm more than a conqueror whether I feel like one or not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me whether I feel like it or not. Can you say amen? Turn to Acts chapter 1. Now, you know what? Go to Romans 4. I've never applied the scripture that way. I feel like reading the scripture. I like, this is one of my favorites. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic, so I'm not texting. I'm just pulling it up. Plus, even if I was texting, back off. Romans 4. What did I ever do to you? Romans 4:16. These are four super powerful verses. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Promises are inherited by faith, just like your bank account is accessed through an ATM card. You know, you can have $3 million in the bank and starve to death if you don't know how to work an ATM. And you can have all these precious promises in the Bible, but if you don't know how to access them by faith, then you won't get anything. Well, the Bible says I'm healed. Yeah, but it won't do you any good till you have faith in that area. And there's people that have faith in some areas and no faith in another area. I was talking with my Uncle Ted about a preacher we know. He's one of the best prosperity preachers you'd ever hear. But then when it comes to healing, he knows nothing. He actually blocked me on Twitter, and we were friends. I've been to his house. He blocked me, never told me. I just looked and I was blocked. And it was because he got so afraid about sickness and disease during COVID and would mask up. You couldn't even go to his house unless you had a mask on. This is a faith preacher. Got vaccinated, all that stuff. So as much faith as he had for money, and I was telling my uncle, it's interesting how all the statements he makes on money, he makes the exact opposite statements on healing. He'll say, you know, people think God chooses whether you're rich or poor, but you decide. The Bible's a book about choices. Then when it gets to healing, God heals some, God doesn't heal others. No. Develop your faith in all the areas. Develop your faith for a strong marriage. Develop your faith on raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Develop your faith in the area of health and strength. Because if you've ever been sick, you know, it's not good to be sick. Develop your faith on finances. Because if you've ever struggled financially, it's not fun. God didn't mean for people to struggle. The Bible says, thou anointest my head with oil. In the New Living Translation, my cup of blessings runneth over. Can you say amen? So you can have a full shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Romans 4, the promises are inherited by faith. On this subject, let me tell you another thing. We have friends in another denomination, a few denominations, that they teach that the Holy Spirit did his work in the first century, and then it's called cessationism. He was taken off the earth. Now, that's not in the Bible. But let's say even if you ceded that to them. Okay. There's no healing or miracles today because there is no Holy Spirit operation on the earth that does healing and miracles. Let's say that's true. The Bible says there was a woman with an issue of blood who had been sick and spent everything she owned. She had a constant source of bleeding and had spent everything she owned, internal hemorrhaging, had spent everything she owned on doctors and was no better. In fact, she was worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she said to herself, I know, not I hope. Everybody say, I know. That's faith. Faith doesn't say if or I hope. I know when I touch him, I will be made well. And she went to where Jesus was and pressed through the crowd. Think of how faith is. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Anybody know when Jesus is coming to this town? I sure could use a healing. No. She went to where he was. Now think of this. If you think healing is sovereign, then you got a problem with this story because A, Jesus was never going to heal her, and B, when she did get healed, Jesus didn't know who got healed. Jesus didn't make a point to heal her. The woman made a point to touch Jesus and receive from him. And I know you know that here. You have good teachers and pastors here. California's full of great preachers. That's a fact. Amens are trailing off, but it's true anyway. And instantly, everybody say instantly. When she touched the hem of his garment, healing power flowed into her. How long does it take? In his time. His time is instantly. The word immediately is used 55 times in the Bible. All of them are in the New Testament, and most of them are in the healing, deliverance, miracle ministry of Jesus and the apostles. Even people's scriptures that they like to use as to why sometimes we have to stay sick or whatever, that, you know, Jesus prayed for the man that was blind and he came back seeing men as trees walking. Yes. Then Jesus ministered to him again and then he saw perfectly. There was no healing that took place over the course of more than 24 hours. That's in the Bible, whether you like it or not. There's no season of healing. There's, you know, I hear God's releasing a season of healing and miracles on the body of Christ. What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go off the earth. Everything God provided was poured out in Acts chapter 2. It's not God's job to release something else. It's our job to lay hold of it by faith. And tonight, you're going to lay hold to the full thing that God has for you. You're not going to be running at 70% or 80%. The whole reason I'm here doing two services a day is for God to raise up a mighty group of Christians that are going to come here, get full of the fire, get full of the word. You're going to do more in the next 8 months than you did in the last 30 years in Jesus' name, because time is short. Jesus is coming soon, and he's not coming back for a weak, defeated church. He's coming back for a glorious, victorious church without spot or wrinkle. If you're part of that church, go ahead, take your anointed hands, put them together, give the Lord a mighty shout. Hallelujah. I was preaching somewhere, and I got the Victory Channel in my room. I was watching you guys. They had you on every day about the time I'd wake up before I had to leave the house. Great TV program. Encouraged my faith. Great people. Good job with your family, too. Says a lot. Amen? Great people are coming to this meeting. That's just the ones I know. There's great people here that I don't know. Last night, I waited after for about an hour and 10 minutes to talk to everyone, anything that wanted to talk. Prayed for everybody. I had a lady message today, can I bring my dog for prayer? I said, sure, if you can get permission. I don't know what the rules of the building are. People need prayer. People need help. That's what I came for. Trust me. If I had my way, I'd do a Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, and just go enjoy Southern California. But Jesus is coming soon. And when I go up to Vancouver, like I told you, I rebuked my friend that was preaching in Canada. What are you doing? We're coming to bring revival to shake Canada. Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. No, that's not going to shake anything. Even a week, twice a day is like, but I, you know, I'm kind of just thinking out loud here. I'm just torn because I also have a church in Pittsburgh. That's a full-time responsibility. But you really, Brother Hagin wouldn't go anywhere unless it was for at least 2 weeks. Did you also, and he did morning and night, and then, you know, a second thing? He didn't have a calendar. He had like a batting order. So he'd just have a list of order of where he was going to go and tell the pastor, when I'm done here, I'll come to you. Then tell that guy, so you just had to be ready for him to go. Because, and I'll never do this again. Again, there's no reason for you to be hearing any of this, but... like a huge group therapy session that no one invited you to that was forced on you. Hello, my name's Jonathan, and I'm planning out my ministry for the next 8 months. One mistake I've made in the past is I took momentum for granted. If a church is packed out with people along the walls, you don't take that lightly. You know, well, I have to be in South Africa next week, so we'll come back in 6 months. You come back in 6 months, you come back and think, what happened? What happened is you let momentum go. So from now on, I know we're to be people of our word and all that, but we're also, you know, a pastor should understand that there's a move of the Holy Ghost. And if I was a pastor and had somebody booked to come to my church and he sent me pictures that the meeting's full and the altars are full of people getting saved, well, now you had an agreement to be here. I'd preach. Half these people that have conferences and stuff, it's like, did you forget how to preach? What am I going to do about the service now? Are you in the ministry? You preach. We'll come later. Because that doesn't, you can't come back and get that back. And you talk to anybody that's traveled and preached, you're fortunate to have that happen once in your ministry. If you have a great ministry, that might happen 6 or 8, 12 times. You know, Pastor Rodney doesn't have 19 Lakeland meetings. He had one Lakeland. He had one Utica and a few other places. He probably had 6 or 8. If he's watching, he's going to correct me. I actually had 17. Or even if it was 17. You know, that's 17 over the course of preaching 46 weeks a year for 40 years. So when a thing hits, This is my next book I have coming out. And I'm going to finish a thought before the night's over. It's like listening to a Christian Charles Manson just all over the map. This is the next book that I'm coming out with that I do not expect to fly off the shelves. A message to pastors, which I am a pastor, been one for 16 whole months. 5 reasons your church will never have revival. Actually, I got to change it. 6 reasons. Came up with a bonus one. Number one, you don't want to have a revival and you don't know what revival is. That's chapter one. Chapter two, you're not actually open to revival. Yeah, you want a revival. You don't want anybody falling out under the power. You don't want anybody crying. You don't want anybody getting healed. What do you want? Anybody see that Asbury revival in Kentucky? That was just students praying and singing. People are still criticizing them online. One guy wrote, I couldn't take it anymore. One guy wrote, in real revival, justice is served to widows and orphans. The revival was 5 days old. I wrote, hey, champ, it's 5 days old. Give it some time. What do you want the college students to go? Go run out and give justice? To put on a cape and tights? Some widow's being attacked? So then you had everybody's idea of what revival is. Or no one's preaching. Yeah, and if someone was preaching, you'd criticize who the preacher was and what they're preaching. You're a jerk. You're not a preacher. You're a professional jerk. So, chapter 3 of this uplifting book. 6 reasons your church will never have revival. Number 3, your staff hates church. You go preach at the average church, you can tell who's on staff. It's the 5 most disconnected people in the building. We were having a revival at a place. We were in week 2, but this happened week 1. The children's pastor would come back to the green room every night because they were long services. There's no such thing as an 80-minute revival. I'm not saying people have to preach for 2 hours like I do, but Oral Roberts did. All these new ideas about preaching. I was at a place, and the guy, I know he was taking a shot at me because I was at a convention. He went, show me anyone that needs more than 35 minutes to speak, and I'll show you someone who doesn't know what they're speaking about. I said, so in your opinion, Oral Roberts didn't know what he was speaking about? Because he never preached less than 2 hours. Yeah, think. Be happy I'm a Christian. Bro, take this dinner fork. No. People say stupid stuff, man. But another guy at that conference I was at, all evangelism should function through the local church. Evangelists shouldn't be outside of the church. They should function from a church. I said, so in your opinion, Billy Graham spent the entirety of his ministry outside of the will of God? Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah, then be quiet. Put mashed potatoes in your mouth and be quiet. No, you can't put God. Now, obviously, you can put God in the bounds of the word. But the Bible says there's diversities of administrations. And then I don't get legalistic about the other thing either. People need to preach longer. No, Raymond T. Ritchie, that him and his dad had the largest church in the country in Houston, Texas. He never preached more than 25 minutes. He'd exhort, short message, get people at the altar, start praying for the sick. He's not wrong. Oral Roberts wasn't wrong. Diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Differences of flow of the Spirit, but the same Spirit. But there is, you know, there's one guy that I never got along with, but I'll always, like, take it easy on him. Because one time I was at a table, and a pastor was telling me I preached too long, right? This is when I was in my 20s, before people gave up on me. We're still trying to salvage me. And this guy from South Africa goes, actually, you're not correct. And we weren't even friends. He said, you can't do what he does in 80 minutes. He said, that's a revival meeting. He said, it's different than a church service. And that, now I'm a pastor, you know. What one thing pastors, a lot of them, don't understand is you can get up as a pastor and say, tonight we're going into part 3 of our series on faith, turn in your Bibles, and everybody will turn in their Bibles and listen to you. Because you've been with them for 18 years. They already like you. You could preach in swimming trunks and a tank top and flip-flops and say, sorry, I got delayed, I was at the pool, and they'd all nod their head. They like you. You have a lot of good things in the bank with them. But when you're an evangelist, people aren't actually receiving from you till about, at best, probably about 15 minutes after you get the mic. They're checking you out. You know, who is this guy in the game show host jacket? So we're having a blowout meeting. And I don't think all my meetings are blowouts by any means. Ask Pastor Rodney. He'll ask me how meetings go. He's like, what do you mean it wasn't? I'm telling you, it wasn't that great. I'm very honest about my own meetings. But this meeting was full. It was in another country that is considered a very liberal. It's not like West Africa. I'm talking like a European-influenced country. And they're, you know, they were nervous about doing a week of meetings. What if no one comes, you know? But it start, first of all, when pastors are nervous about doing a week of meetings, what if no one comes? No one's already coming. I know you have the lights turned down super low. There's already nobody there. So there's nothing to lose. What if people come? What if it grows? You know, by Friday of that meeting, we had as many people at the Friday a.m. service that they had on Sunday morning. And they had a good Sunday morning crowd. And it was a teaching on faith in the morning. And as I was teaching on it, I knew in my spirit, I said, if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to come to the altar, lift your hand. It was like 40% of the crowd. It was a genuine move of God. These European people coming and getting saved. Well, everyone's happy. There was a guy, I called him out. I think his name was Nick. I called him out and I said, the Lord's going to heal your body right now. Lift your hands. And when I pointed at him, he fell under the power. Then he got up and ran around the building. And everyone, I'm talking in a conservative country with conservative people, jumped up and started clapping. Well, then he takes a lap around the church and runs straight to the altar and starts crying. And his wife comes next to him. They were going to get a divorce. She invited him to come to church. He had back surgery and they severed his sciatica nerve and paralyzed his leg. I didn't know that, or I wouldn't have prayed for him. I would have gone with like somebody that has slight back pain or something. When I said, stand up, he couldn't even stand up. He stood up. Then when he got hit with the power of God, he got all feeling in his leg back. His wife saw that. And the same power that healed his leg and back healed his marriage. So now think of this, because that's point, you know, I'm talking about my super negative book I'm going to come out with. Because people think the devil's the problem. It's not the devil. It's backslidden staff and backslidden pastors that actually don't want to be in their own church. You know, that guy was rebuking. I said, what are you doing going to a country that's a quarter step from becoming a communist country? Freezing people's bank accounts, shutting churches down, and you're going to go do Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And he's not booked the rest of the month. He said, well, the pastor said that Sunday night he rents the church out to another church for more income. And okay, then don't be a pastor. This is not a banquet hall. Don't like that one, let the air out of the room. It's funny because I've said a lot of super mean stuff tonight, and that one was the one that was too far. All right. Churches should be, what sense does it make to build a $20 million building and use it 90 minutes a week? It should be full of activity. There should be prayer. What do they do in the book of Acts? Daily in prayer, both house to house and in the temple. They had buildings, you know, in the book of Acts. Because the Bible says in Acts 2 that 3,000 were added to the church, and they all met to hear the apostles speak. So they met in houses, but they also met in big buildings. Can you say amen? So this is what happens in a revival. You have miracles like that happen. Marriage get healed. That guy got delivered from cocaine addiction, too. That's probably why he was running. If it was heroin addiction. So you finish the meeting. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, there was great joy in the city. So you have the sinners coming up. They're not sad service. And I'm not going to keep you. I'm not like prepping you to be here all night. Because we got morning services and all that. You have sinners come like him and hug you. I can walk. This is awesome. I already texted my brother. He's coming tomorrow night. That kind of stuff. Hallelujah. I was preaching in New Mexico. And a kid went to walk in the back. They told me this after. And as he went to cross the doors of the sanctuary, he had a full epileptic seizure. So they had to take it. You know, I'm not one to blame everything on the devil. I grew up in Pentecostal Holiness Church where everything was blamed on the devil. The speakers are crackling. Devil's attacking the sound system. No, you have a garbage sound system. The devil's going, I'm not doing anything. You bought that. I would have actually bought you a nicer sound system. So I don't like blaming every, you know, Pentecostal Holiness Church. I get up to open the service. Satan, we bind you. Worship leader gets up. Satan, we bind you. Then associate pastor gets up to give announcements. Before I give the announcements, Satan, we bind you. I was like 11 years old thinking, if this sucker's that slippery, that we bind him and he gets loose every 9 minutes, we're fighting a losing battle. But thank God we don't have to bind him. He's already bound. Jesus stripped him of all his power, and he gave that power to the church, which is his body. Hallelujah! How many feel the presence of God in this place? How many feel the spirit of faith in this place? Go ahead. Lift your hands. Just begin to thank God out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for revival in California. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that kid gets pulled out with the epileptic seizure, and I found out the next night. So at first, I thought he was like demon-possessed coming to attack me. Because literally, this kid's never been to church. I say kid, he's like 19. He's never been to church. He's got a Yankees hat on. And he comes out of the seat from the back row and runs at me. And I'm thinking, okay. And when he gets up to me, though, he doesn't hit me or anything. He goes, something's telling me that if you'll pray for me right now, God will heal me. Sinner. I said, okay, what's the problem? That's when I found out about the seizures. So when he said that, I thought, oh, this makes sense. Mark 9, that kid was having seizures. It was caused by he comes to go in the sanctuary and get saved, and the devil takes him out before he can get through the door. So I thought, oh, okay, I connected the dots. Lift your hand. I laid my hands on him. You could feel that thing go. He fell out under the power. Then I took his Yankees hat off and put it backwards on my head and preached like that. And everyone laughed because I was preaching with a backwards Yankees hat on. But I wasn't doing it to be funny. I was doing it so when he got up, the cloth in the hat would be in contact with my sweat on my head while I'm preaching. Then he could put it back on his brain and get another touch of the anointing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, when you throw a rock in a pond, the ripples go out. Not only did that kid get healed of seizures, the next night when we gave the altar call, in the line of people that got saved was a guy with tattoos up the side of his neck and up the side of his face. And when I saw him, you know, sometimes I'm just curious. Like, you don't look like you were, like, home searching for churches today. So what brought you here? So I said, if you don't mind my asking, how did you come to this meeting? Everybody say this word with me. Say revival.
Revival.
This is what starts happening. If you cut the meeting Tuesday, you got to give the thing time to ripple out. Somebody brought me in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, a newspaper cutout of T.L. Osborne's newspaper ad in the Harrisburg newspaper in Pennsylvania for when he came there to do a meeting. Do you know what the scheduled dates were? September 27th through October 21st. 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7:30 p.m. daily, Mondays off. Pentecostals always gave people one day to shower and buy groceries. And if you look at the pictures of the meeting, he rented the big farm show arena with 9,000 capacity for 9,000. They were having 300 and 400 week one. You know, then you get one kid healed of polio.
Come on.
Let me forget that New Mexico story. I'm telling you the kind of stuff that happens. People need to hear this. I went to South Africa and was preaching in Durban, South Africa, and the guy that built the largest church in South Africa, he had gone to heaven, but his wife was there. And so I said, her name's Nellie Roberts. Nellie Roberts. I said, were you here when William Branham came to Durban, South Africa? She said, oh, I was. I said, tell me about the meeting. She was in it. I want to hear about it. She said, well, we were in an auditorium, and they were bringing kids with polio. And she said they brought this boy, and they'd get their legs fitted with custom calipers. And so when he prayed for him, the kid started to scream in such a way that they thought he was demon-possessed. And because it wasn't like a holy scream. It was like scream of murder. But he starts going, he's not demon-possessed. Get him off! Get him off! So they ripped the calipers off. God not only healed him of the polio, but his legs grew out to normal size and were constricted by that thing causing him pain. So when they busted the braces off his legs, the kid goes running around the room. She said, after that happened, we had to move out of the auditorium to the sanctuary. Turn to John 2:23. To a stadium. I think I said sanctuary, stadium. John 2:23. Praise God. John 2:23. Because of the miracles Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him or believe in him, in the King James. And many believed on him, seeing the miracles that he did. Say this with me. Miracles produce many. It doesn't seem connected in the natural, but the working of miracles does something in the spirit where it starts drawing people in. In fact, even in that New Mexico meeting, Catholic people and people of Catholic backgrounds receive miracles very easily. A, they see you as the priest and are taught to believe whatever you say. So when you tell them, I'm going to pray for you and the Lord's going to heal you, they'll go, no, I know you're like a faith guy. No, it's just, okay, Father. Catholics are very open to miracles. They burn their toast and see Mary. You can work with that. So, and it's funny how they receive too, because they receive differently. Because they're used to confession one at a time, so they'll come up. My son has a tumor in his arm. They brought a little boy. We have it on video, but I've already had him queue up a bunch of videos that I didn't play, and I don't want there to be tension between me and the media team. My son has a tumor in his forearm. They took it out. It grew back. They took it out. And it grew back a third time, and they're going to have the third surgery, and they said it'll grow back and do that the rest of his life. Would you pray for him? Grabbed his arm and prayed for him. They came back with the report and gave the testimony that the tumor was completely gone, and the doctors wanted to know where it went. They were astounded that a tumor that big could just disappear. You know, we've prayed for people that do that, and the doctor will say, the tumor must have moved. No, they don't. The only thing, they rented a U-Haul and went down to the leg. It's called a miracle. Can you say amen? That just because the devil put something in your body doesn't mean it has to stay there. God can remove anything that's in your body that's not supposed to be there at will. And then he can put in anything that's missing or has shut down. He can give you a brand new one. God doesn't have to heal your kidneys. God can give you a brand new kidney. God can give you a brand new physical heart. God can give you brand new physical lungs if you'll only believe. I said, if you'll only believe, you serve a mighty God. He loves you. He cares about you. He created you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. So anyway, I see that guy with the tattoos in New Mexico. Oh, no, let me finish South Africa. They moved to the stadium, right? So a guy from the newspaper, back when newspapers were red, had a guy criticize me from a newspaper on Twitter. This guy does this, this, and this. And I just retweeted it and wrote above it. Imagine working in print media in 2022. So, and criticizing people about what they do. Unbelievable. So, it's not even a doctrinal thing. So anyway, this is when the meeting really broke. So God moves. The devil doesn't attack. Read Acts 19. The devil doesn't attack to shut it down. Paul got thrown out of the temple. Then God will give you a plan to do a counterattack and end up stronger on the back end of that first attack than you were before it came. Anybody see me get thrown out of South Carolina? Did I come out stronger or weaker? Stronger, more money, more open doors. Did you know after that guy, when I posted that reel that the meetings were canceled, I had 7 people invite me to come to their church that night. Yeah, I didn't go. The point is, I could have. So this newspaper reporter that's very well known in Durban, South Africa, goes to mess up William Branham's meeting. So what he does is he puts on blind glasses and a white and red cane. And he's going to get in line and pretend to be blind. And then when William Branham says, the Lord shows me you're blind, And now he's going to heal you. He's going to take the glasses off. Everybody knew who he was in Durban and say, see, all this guy does, anybody can see that these people have polio or tuberculosis or they're blind. This isn't miracles. Well, that was a bad move. When he was three people back in line, William Branham was ministering to someone, then stopped ministering to them, pointed at the man with the glasses on and said, sir, you have come here to mock the Holy Ghost. And now the disease that you've pretended to have has come upon you forever. And the man let out a scream and had to be led off the field blind. And when people saw that, they got their acts together. They thought, shoot, this thing's not fake. This is not an American coming to Durban trying to spread an American religion. And I want you to know that. That's how they talk about it, like this is some Western religion. This thing began in Jerusalem, the dead center of the earth. It's not an American thing. It's not a European thing. It's not an Anglo thing. It's not a South America, Central America thing. It's not a European thing. It's not an Asian thing. It's a Jesus thing. The Lamb that was slain for every tongue, every tribe, every nation and every race. Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time, say it. Miracles,
miracles
produce many.
Many.
Something about miracles draws multitudes. Turn to Luke 4. Luke 4, Jesus is tempted, one of the three people in the Bible that dealt with Satan personally. All he had to do was quote three scriptures and Satan left. You don't have to pray in speed tongues for 4 hours. It is written, it is written, it is written. There was I have to regroup. Then he comes back in the power, everybody say the power of the Holy Ghost. He went to the wilderness led by the Spirit, then and returned in the power of the Spirit. There's something that you gain in fasting and prayer that you don't get any other way. My cousin and I were talking. You stand by most ministers anymore. You don't feel anything. But there are other guys. You know, Lester Summerall was preaching at a meeting and said to Rod Parsley, put his hand on his belly and he went, Oral Roberts is in the room. They were in the back room. Oral Roberts just came into the auditorium. And Rod Parsley told him, no. He said, we invited him, but he said he has another appointment. Lester Summerall said, I'm telling you, he just walked in the room. I can feel his anointing. And they got out there, and Oral Roberts is sitting on the front row. Yeah, he carried something. You want to hear a weird thing Oral Roberts said? There's a pastor I know that asked him for church growth advice. Think of this. How do you grow your church? You know what Oral Roberts said? When you preach, if you'll get to the point where you can feel the anointing bouncing off the back wall and coming back and hitting you, it'll fill the room. Well, you don't read that in too many books. Because the anointing demands its own audience. God won't allow the anointing to be released and nobody receive from it. So when you allow the anointing to go forth and the word, say this with me, the Bible demands its own audience. I appealed to the Lord on those grounds about three fasts ago. I said, that book is so holy and awesome. There should never be a time when I crack it open to read it that there's not at least 1,000 people listening. And now we rarely have. It's almost to the point where we always have 1,000 between the live crowd and 700 and some watching at a time on YouTube. It used to be 70 at a time watching on YouTube. So it went up and then it'll go to 10,000. The Bible demands an audience and the Holy Ghost demands an audience. Church at the movies demands no audience. Can you say amen? God will be happy to see your church closed down. Just some free advice. He returned in the power of the Spirit and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I want you to lift your right hand and close both eyes and quote the Bible there. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, what I want you to do, both while I'm in town and after I leave town, just for a short period of time, the rest of your life, every time you feel discouraged or defeated, or like you don't know what you're going to do, rather than say, I feel like I'm being attacked, I'm under attack, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going through a dry season, don't say that. Lift your right hand and say, thank you, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say this now, He has anointed me. Say what the psalmist said, I will be anointed with fresh oil every day. That's a song we used to sing growing up in Pentecostal church. It's a good song. Fresh oil from heaven. fresh oil from heaven, flow in thy power. You know, I married a lady from that's Puerto Rican, and she had a Spanish Bible, and I wanted to see in the Spanish Bible what the word for anointing was, because anointing is difficult to explain to people because it's one of those words you use in Christianity that you don't use it except for the anointing oil and Christian stuff. So I wanted to see how they did it in Spanish, and in the Spanish Bible, the word anointing is? Unción. And I could catch that better because it's English unction. You're like your grandpa, I'm getting an unction to get up and go get some lunch. It means like I'm feeling a quickening come on my body to go do something. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. When you see the anointing come on people in the Bible, it quickened their mind. You never see, and the hand of the Lord came upon him and he took a nap. You see, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he outran a king's chariot. Look at this now. Romans 8. If the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken what? Your mortal body. I've actually, one difference between me now and me 15 years ago is I've learned how to preach in the anointing so that I actually get quickened as I'm preaching, and I'm actually the least tired after I'm done preaching. And I actually feel better at the end of a week of meetings than I do when the meetings start. Because I don't try to do anything. It's like that lady that got healed of the deafness last night. In the name of Jesus, I come in. No, just flowed. And then it was like the Lord did all the work. No, you know, you hear people, man, I'm tired. I had the unction go out of me last night. Well, if it was my unction, I would be dead. But all I am is a pipe from heaven to the people. A water pipe doesn't have to do any work. And a water pipe can't ever get thirsty. There's a continual flow of the river of God. In that day, rivers of living water will flow out from your belly. But this spake he of the Spirit. Can I tell you something? There is a refreshing coming into you right now, flowing through you right now. You're not going to be weary. You're not going to be sick. You're not going to be defeated. You're going to walk in overflowing victory from now till when Jesus comes. If you receive it, go ahead and clap your hands and give a mighty shout. Hallelujah. Online, in your living room, in your kitchen, in prison, in your bedroom, you're coming out. You're coming out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How can anybody be defeated living here? Say this out loud. I have the Word. I have the Holy Ghost. And I have Berea tacos. You got threefold corn's not easily broken, my friend. You got that food and then that spiritual stuff. I could see people getting depressed in Vermont. Not in Southern California. What a place to live. Hour from the beach. Hour from the desert and Joshua Tree. Hour from skiing. This place is heaven. I'll tell you, if I lived here and pastored here, I'd start saying, thank you, Father, this place is heaven on earth. Thank you that I live in a place that where heaven is. I don't see demons here. I see your creation. Any demons that are going to get cast out anyway, they're going to run them right out of town. They can go to Oregon. They can go across the, they can go somewhere else. They're not going in California. California belongs to Jesus. California belongs to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. California is under the dominion of God. Whether the devil likes it or not. I said, whether the devil likes it or not. Go ahead, take 30 seconds and rejoice. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Devil's not going to write the last chapter of California history. I said, the devil's not going to write the last chapter of California history. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Say it one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. Lift your hands. Just thank God that you're anointed. And the anointing that you carry is greater than any opposition that you face. The anointing you carry is greater than any opposition you face. The anointing that you carry is greater than any opposition you face. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can be seated. continuing with tonight's reading. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He wrote up the scroll, handed it back, and go down to verse 31. When Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogues every Sabbath day. There too the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with real authority. Once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." Now look what how the demon talked to Jesus. "Have you come to destroy us?" That means he could if he wanted. It's just not. The demon's actually trying to educate Jesus about Bible prophecy. "You know, you can't destroy me right now. I can feel the heat, but it's not time for that yet. We still get some more time. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. Just so you know, Jesus." Negotiating for his non-killing. "I'm willing to leave. Don't kill me." Can you say amen? They didn't wrestle. Who puts these stupid Instagram pictures up of Jesus arm wrestling the devil? You think, now if you believe that, if you think Satan could take a chair and pull up at a table with Jesus, you've smoked a lot of crack. The Bible says when Christ returns, he's not going to beat the Antichrist up. He will destroy him by the breath of his mouth and the splinter, destroy him. When he appears, now think of this. If he destroys the Antichrist by the breath of his mouth, what does the word say about itself? All scripture is God breathed. The breath that will destroy the Antichrist is inherent in the word of God. And when you preach the word, it blows. That's how that woman's deaf ear came open. When you preach the word, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it," the word, "is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." "Have you come to destroy us before our time?" Say with me, miracles. Produce many. But Jesus rebuked him or reprimanded him. "Shut up. Come out of the man." At that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. That's what demons do. They're like, literally, when you cast out demons, they're like dealing with like a four-year-old petulant child. "Hey, let it come out." "Yeah, I wasn't asking." Can you say amen? Amen? Threw the man on his way out. It's like a kid like knocking toys over on his way out of the room. Threw the man to the ground. As the crowd watched, then it came out without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess, that even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. Then what happened? 38, after leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law, very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. But in none of the Gospels do you ever hear Peter asking for his mother-in-law to be healed, just everyone else. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever. What did he rebuke? Fever. Oh God, please, no. He spoke to the fever as if it was an entity. He rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. And no matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed how many of them? Many were possessed by demons. And the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You're the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. So the Bible says, and then he has to escape the crowds. Now you notice, with Jesus' miracle ministry, he had to make an effort to get away from crowds. "Don't tell anyone where we're going. Don't tell anyone we're in this town." But word would get out. And then a crowd would show up wanting to hear the word. Let me tell you something. That's going to happen before Jesus comes back. I don't know. You can get in on it if you want. It's going to happen for me. The day is going to come where we're going to have to run a 7 p.m. service and an 11 p.m. service, because there's not going to be enough people to get in the building for 7, so we'll get that one wrapped up and they'll come and stay the late crowd till 2 a.m. That's how it's going to be. That's how it was in the early rain. That's how it's going to be in the latter rain. Can you say amen? The devil will not write the last chapter of California. California is going to get shaken by the mighty power of God. I saw there was a 3.4 earthquake in Southern California this morning. The shaking has begun. I said the shaking has begun. The devil already fired his best shot, 2020 through 2022. This is the time of the church. New Mexico, kid with the tattoos up the face. He also had a big bandage on his neck. And so I said, how did you find out about the revival meeting? He said, my brother said he came here last night and you healed him. I'm telling you what he said. I'm not telling you I healed him. That's what people think. Jesus is the healer. And he said, you healed him. Now, guess what he did? When he got healed, he went straight to the hospital where his brother was with a stab wound in his neck. His brother worked for the cartel and said, let me sign you out of the hospital and come take you to church tomorrow night. You need to be here, this guy. So that night he's sitting there and he comes and gets saved. So the devil heals the kid of the seizures. Then his brother gets healed out of the cartel. Comes and gets, you know, had an injury, occupational hazard. OSHA is very lax on their oversight of cartel work. And he comes and gets saved. And that crowd grew. That was during 2020 in New Mexico, where you weren't allowed to have more than 20 people even in a grocery store. And on Friday night, in about a 680-seater, maybe 7-something, we had 880 people up from 350, including when I got there that night, I was thinking, oh, shoot, because the police were there. They were seated with their Bibles with no masks on. And masks were mandatory. That's what it did. And then if you ever see that video of my wife shooting a Barrett 50 caliber, the police force took her out to shoot automatic weapons, throw grenades. You're my wife, I'll tell you, I've been very respectful lately. Walks around the house with the same loadout as my Call of Duty character. Why do you have tear gas? She told me the other night, I just filed a permit to get a silencer. I said, listen, I'm taking my dishes to the sink. All right, you know what, I don't want to be on Forensic Files. Preacher commits suicide, shot himself twice in the head. That was revival in New Mexico. So this other place we're at, guy gets healed, cocaine addiction, gets the life back in his leg. Everybody's hugging me after the meetings, bringing me food they made. People, when people are touched spiritually, they give. Acts 28, 1 through 10. And so guess who the only people is that we had to deal with? I'd go to the green room after all that with all the sinners are so happy. You think maybe this will go another week? You had people that were getting saved saying, you know, we're doing mourning. One morning, I was doing noon to 1 back then, and 7 o'clock. You had unsaved people that had been saved, you know, saved now, 2 days, 3 days. Could you do like an afternoon service, too? Because my friend gets off of work at 2. You think you guys could add like a 4 o'clock? They actually wanted to be in church. So then you go back to the green room, and the children's pastor comes in every night. I was with those kids for 4 hours. I'm so tired. Well, after the third night of him saying that, I was going to say I was ticked off. I was ticked off the first night, but I held my tongue for 3 days. I was very proud of myself. I have a chart at home, and I put a gold sticker next to conduct. But the third night, I was sitting there sweaty with my tie loose, heard him come up and say that. I said, then quit. He looked over at me. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you part-time here or full-time? I'm full-time. I knew he was. Full-time salary. I said, let me ask you another question. If you worked at a secular daycare, how many hours would your shift be? Oh, no, 9 hours. I said, that's right. So I know the service went 4 hours, but that's still less than half the time you'd work for less money if you worked at a secular daycare. So shut up. And he said, I'm sorry, and I reluctantly forgave him just so I could go to heaven. Well, fast forward a few months later, the church had to let him go because he confessed. The church doesn't know. The pastor kept it under his hat. he was on an adult website at night and would pay to have live chat with the girl on the other side. Well, you know, those things are run by organized crime. So they did a search on the name of his credit card, found out he was a children's pastor, and told him, if you don't pay us $30,000, we're going to post the video sessions on your church's website. And he told them he didn't believe them. So they said, look at your church's website, and they had their logo on the church's website. So he went and told the pastor that he was getting extorted for money, and they let him go. You know, maybe you'd have been less tired if you'd have just went to sleep. Quit messing around with Romanian hoes. And again, I'm not picking on Romanians, any hoes. You know, they're all hoes can be problematic is the point. I'm not against any singular type of hoe. Not against even hoes. They need to receive Jesus Christ. The point, it's not about hoes. The point is, so how come you had, and that's why ever since that time I've noticed something. When I see people that don't like to be in church or complain to their pastor about how long they are. Now, on the flip side, I don't eat at church. I tell the churches, don't prepare a meal for me after. It's actually that stuff that wears the staff out. They're in church till 11. They don't need to be there till 1 in the morning so you can sit there and eat. You can go eat, especially here. I mean, good Lord, this is food heaven. I'm telling you right now, if I lived in Southern California for 8 months, I'd be over 400 pounds. I'm not joking. I'd be in a Jazzy, one of those motorized scooters. I'd have like gray stained sweatpants and like a belly hanging out of my Chargers jersey. Anyone that's here that's under 500 pounds, I salute you. I don't know how you do it. What do you call it? How do you pronounce those tacos? Birria? Holy moly. I almost just canceled the meeting tonight and stayed at that place. I was going to eat those till they had to saw one of my feet off. What happens when people move away from here that are Mexican? What? I came from California. I felt like a jerk, you know, because it just irritated me. I'd come from here, and then I went to get tacos in Pennsylvania, and it was Mexicans running the place. I said, what happened to you guys? I was just with your families. What? They would be ashamed of you. Cheddar cheese? Sour cream? Desgracia. You're a disgrace. I felt like going to that restaurant what a Sicilian feels like going to the Olive Garden. Bologna ravioli. Say with me, miracles produce many. The thing that you fight, I've been here 24 hours, you know. This is not directed at this church's staff. I don't know anything good or bad about you. I'm telling you, this is a thing. People think they fight the devil. That's why I'm writing this book. It's not to be mean. It's not to, like, get something off my chest. We've had successful meetings. But you don't fight the devil. You fight stuff like that. Or people in the pastor's ear. No, I won't say who. No, I can't. Who said go ahead? Who's the gossip that wants names? You. This lady needs to be at the altar. I had a bad feeling about you when I saw you. My, I can't say who. He's at a meeting, right? Now, he's not telling me this. I saw this. Church, when I say packed, I'm not talking clever Instagram angles. I'm talking packed. They had to set up chairs on the platform. They had to set up chairs in the lobby, and they had to set up chairs in the parking lot in a little town. The meeting was scheduled Sunday to Wednesday. He had to push to get it extended to Friday. What did the pastor say? You know, our people are tired. No, people don't come back to something that makes them tired. Your staff is tired. How? It's their job. Do you know what, you know, ministers should buck up. Do you know what you would do if you had to work in the oil field? You have to be there at 4 a.m. and you stay till like 11 p.m. or midnight. From dark to dark. Go home and sleep for 3 hours. And I'm not talking data entry. I'm talking putting cast iron pipes in the ground, getting fried if the fire comes out the wrong way. Work. Sheetrock. If you roof in California in the summer, there's people that do roofing in Arizona in the summer. I would just disappear. Carrying hot tar in Arizona, it's like 140 there. Last time I was in Arizona, a cockroach went like this. And then the Bible calls it the work of the ministry. Cancel Sunday night service. Cancel Wednesday night service. No prayer during the day. Sunday morning, 80 minutes. Read what Paul was doing every day in the temple, Acts 19, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. See, you read the revival in Ephesus in Acts 19, and you read it real quick, you think Paul just came there and shook the whole city. For 2 years, every day from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m., it says in the Amplified, he preached. And then God gave Paul the power to do unusual or special miracles. See, there's a tilling of the ground. There's a breaking up of the fallow ground that you don't do by warfare. You do it by teaching and preaching the word. And the word tills the ground. Then a breakthrough comes. And when that breakthrough hits, it's over. So I'm telling you, in California and in the United States, it's not a demonic stronghold that you fight. It's not the LGBT, 3% of the population. It's not Hollywood. It's not Silicon Valley. It's half. Who did Jesus fight? Who put him on the cross? Cartel members? All the drug dealers banded together and said, we're sick of this guy? All the prostitutes got together and crucified Christ? Who put Jesus on the cross? Who? Religious leaders that were making the Bible of none effect. You do make the word of God of none effect by your vain traditions. He came to bring life. Religion, the thing that you're going to have to kick in the head in California that I came to kick in the head this week is the spirit of religion that hates the Holy Ghost, hates the move of God, hates salvation. But that spirit, along with the other ones, is not over our head, it's under our feet. Go ahead, take 30 seconds and clap your hands and shout. Shout for the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gonna be the worst week the devil's ever had in Southern California. Gonna be the worst week that the devil's ever had. I'm not being critical of pastors. I'm being critical of certain pastors. But I'm not naming names or anything. There's a good pastor. There's a good pastor. There's a good preacher. And there's a bunch of, there's good preachers. There's ones I don't know that are here. But there is. That's the problem in California. You're going to have a church at the movies. The thing needs a revival. Doesn't need you to watch Home Alone and talk about how sometimes we get so wrapped up in the busyness that we forget our Kevin McAllisters. Amen. I mean, how many know we get so caught up? You need to wake the heck up. Oh, almost ended my ministry. I'll just stick to wake up. You need to wake up. You know, yeah, the church does have dominion. I'm not saying it, but you need to realize Christ is coming soon. The Bible says, Revelation 12:12, Satan, knowing his time was short, declared war on the sons of men. When he knows, that devil knew, it's not the time yet. They know what Bible prophecy says. Where did all this crap come from? Transgender, all this stuff that didn't exist. Fentanyl. Doesn't even make sense to have fentanyl. I'm talking from a demonic standpoint. Like if I was a drug dealer, I would have a meeting like Don Corleone had about heroin. I'd say, listen, if we kill the people we sell to, we can't have any long-term clients. What's the point of doing this? The whole point's to get somebody hooked. Just in case there's any drug dealers watching, I can give you a couple tips. The whole point is to get people like Pfizer does. Long-term clients. No cure, more medication. Can you say amen? That's how you properly deal drugs. What are you dealing something? Then they're putting fentanyl in with the cocaine and not telling. There's people that just mean to be doing light drug dealing that are dealing fentanyl and don't even know it. So you can't tell me that this is not being done from China. And if you're Chinese, we love Chinese people. I'm not talking about Chinese people. I'm saying you can't tell me that it's not a, we're in a different kind of war. This is not line up with guns and march and infantry and cannons and mortar strikes and precision air strikes and whatever other stuff you can unlock in Call of Duty, which is my whole way I know about war. Gee, did you ever think, now that we've had more young people die in the United States from fentanyl than died during the Vietnam War, that powers that be, that hate America, think how demonic these people are that want abortion. And notice that all the demonic strategy is no reproduction, don't have kids, sterilized through the you-know-what, whatever. They want the exact opposite of God. Be fruitful and multiply. But instead, stamp it out. No kids, abortion, raise taxes so you can't have children till you're 38, and now pump fentanyl in. Lower the population. You can't line Americans up and gun them down. But these people, Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, there's 8 billion people. The earth needs to have 1 billion people. Do you know what they're saying? 7 billion people need to die. There's a war. I opened up, I'm not going to get into all this. Where am I? 40% obesity rate. Don't tell me it's because Americans eat a lot of food. Italians eat a lot of food. I went to Europe and ate a lot every day. Or Europeans eat a ton. It's par for the course in Europe to order a starter, a main, and a dessert, even for lunch. People ate bread. But I read, there's stuff that if you put in the bread in Europe, if you put it in the stuff they put in the bread here, if you put it in Europe, it's a $250,000 fine and a 5-year prison sentence. How does it go? I mean, look at the pictures of people on the beach in America in 1980. It looked like an LA Fitness. Everybody flat, stomach, skinny, good shape. Then all of a sudden, now everybody's putting on weight. Children obese. You watch Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory? They cast that kid to be a chubby kid. He'd be a fit kid now. The stuff they're putting in food's not food. When you drop a cheeseburger in your car and find it 3 weeks later and it looks exactly the same, that's not good. So FDA, Food and Drug Administration, isn't it interesting, it's the same group, putting stuff in the food to get people on drugs. They tell you that 50% of the people that are on drugs are in the hospital. It's a dietary thing. It's something that could be solved by eating differently because they've poisoned the food, poisoned the drugs. There are people that want you dead. I was never motivated to go to the gym in my life because I don't care. I'm already married. My wife's legally contracted to be with me for the rest of her life. I have no motivation to look hot. And you know, I know you're supposed to do stuff to lengthen your life, but you got 30 years of Jesus is coming soon preached into you. You don't care about that. And you know the thing I had to frame to get myself going to the gym and working out? Is anytime I can frame something where somebody's trying to take advantage of me, it puts a fight in me. And when I realize they're setting stuff up to make me fat and give me heart problems so that at 55 I'm the most anointed with the most money I've ever had and the biggest vision and my body's crapping out on me. There is a plan to get your children on drugs and in fear and their minds warped and their bodies diseased. But thanks be unto God who made a covenant with us that with all those things that are against you, God has a plan to flip that table on the devil just like he did in New Mexico where the cartel worker is now a born again, Holy Ghost filled Christian healed out of the hospital by the power of God. Every manifestation of this plan against your family, against your marriage, it is destroyed tonight in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen like thunder. That's what hinders revival. The devil doesn't have capacity to hinder revival. There's just a stronghold in this area that needs broken. Well, I can tell you, even if there was one, you ain't doing it. Just listening to your tone of voice makes me feel like attacking you, and I'm on your team. Yeah, there's just a real stronghold in this area. LGBT. Yeah, it sounds like they got to you. I'm sure the devil listening to you talk's wetting his pants in fear. You know, there's just a real stronghold. Churches are small. The preachers here don't really preach the word. What are you, an evangelist for hell? So you actually have one group that's like a participant with hell. Church at the movies, settled in, and just figured out what Californians quote unquote like and do that, which actually isn't what they like. People love the Holy Ghost. People love to be in the presence of God in California. And then you have the second group that's critical of that group. You know, these churches, there's churches in this area, they've actually resigned themselves to the LGBTQIA plus theology, and they have rainbow flags out there, and they do church at the movies, and they used to give altar calls, and they don't give altar calls. Yeah, you criticizing the problem is not helping anything. I actually don't know much about anything that's going on in Pittsburgh. I know what I'm doing. And people are welcome to oppose it, not oppose it, be neutral. It won't make any difference to me. I was minding my own business on New Year's Eve 2020. And as I got ready to take a bite of cake, the Lord said clearly in my spirit, and I know it was the Lord because I guaranteed people I'd never pastor. I have two uncles that pastored and my grandfather pastored. I knew it wasn't when you get tired of travel and go pastor. It's more work. You're done preaching as an evangelist. You can go chill for 10 days. Nobody has your phone number or anything. Those days are over. People need help. People get hit by cars. You feel like saying as a pastor, like, just stay indoors. My mother fell down the stairs. Hold the handrail. What's wrong with you people? I got Call of Duty to play and you're getting sick and stuff. Me a strong church in this city. Yes, Lord. Then we go to work. My wife drives by a building and is praying, or her sister is praying, feels a green light about that building. So she goes to check it out. There's a lease sign on the thing. How much do they want and all that? We send our associate pastor, Sammy Velez. He gets there. There's a lady in the parking lot. We're interested in this building. People sent me, they're interested in this building. Oh my goodness, I just prayed today that the Lord would help me unload this building. I believe you're an answer to that prayer. Who are you with? You know, I had met that lady for the first time in my life at a funeral. And I didn't know who she was or anything. I didn't know she owned property. I didn't know any of that. She told me she thought my eulogy that I gave for my grandma was funny. So if you like my humor, I sat down by her. She's in her 60s. Then I just cracked a few more jokes and was making her laugh. Then she got a phone call and left. She said, hold on, I have to take this. And then someone leaned over me and said, you know, she's worth a lot of money. When they said she's worth a lot of money, I went and moved and sat somewhere else. Oh, this lady thinks I'm like a minister. It's like nuzzling up to her. I thought she was just like a regular lady. If I knew she was rich, I'd have left her alone. Because then she's going to think I'm a preacher that wants whatever she has. So that's the first we meet. Then she finds out, what group sent you? He tells them, Jonathan and Dawes Shuttlesworth. Oh, they have a church? No, not now, but they're going to have one. Oh, this is the Lord. Then you want to know what else happened? Her husband. Say this with me. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I was 31 years old, and I run late. And, you know, I flew commercial up until 2 years ago. The only reason I started flying private is during COVID. I was on a flight, and Camila was getting ready to get out of school, and a flight attendant leaned over and put her finger in the face of this kid and said, you pull your mask up over your nose, right, and started yelling at the kid. And Camila was going to start traveling with me in 3 weeks. And I thought, if a flight, you know, I know me. If a flight attendant leans across me and yells at Camila like that, I'm going to be in Guantanamo Bay. Sitting next to Al Baghazari or whatever his name is. Playing checkers with Bin Laden's stepsister or whatever. Why did it it take so long to find Bin Laden? How hard could it be to locate the only cave with a kidney dialysis machine? Anyway, just some thoughts that came to me. So her husband, I'm 31 years old. We have to go to catch a flight, and I'm running late. And my grandma told me up in Maine about a friend she had in Pennsylvania that was sick, older lady, and had asked me to go pray for her 3 different times. And I kept coming back and telling her that I hadn't prayed for her. So I said, Adalys, I'm going to go pray for this lady. And even if it makes us late for the flight. So I go in and pray for the lady. That was her husband's mother-in-law, the lady's mother. I don't do that. That was like the only time I've gone to someone's house to pray for him as an evangelist. I went to this older lady's house, prayed for her. He found out back then that I had visited. And he said, I made up my mind then I was going to do something to bless you before it was all said and done. He owned that building with his wife. Found out I did something without anybody knowing about it. Then I meet them. They give us that building, $5.7 million building for free. That's right. 24.8 acres of land after we outgrow that building. Turned down millions of dollars from a big hotel company, gave it to us. It's on Mount Nebo Road. Mount Nebo is where God took Moses to have him gaze into the promised land of Canaan. Hallelujah. Can't make this stuff up. Yeah, the devil has his own flow and his own attack, but God has his own flow for you. And I see you tonight getting out of the flow of the devil and getting into the flow of the Holy Ghost. In that flow, there's healing. In that flow, there's strength. In that flow, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And in that flow, there's victory. If you receive that one more time tonight in California, make a joyful noise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout hallelujah. Say one more time, miracles produce many. One reason I'm going to play this video, and I'm not doing this to be critical. When you watch my Uncle Ted operate at this service, I want you to know something. It's Sunday morning, and he was supposed to be done at this church. If I never preached at another megachurch for the rest of my life, I'd be super fine with me. They're the most regimented. Feels like preaching I think if you preached in China, they'd put less restrictions on you. Don't mention your product table. Don't mention your partner letters. If you could be done, when you get the mic, you're going to turn around. There's going to be a clock counting down from 35 minutes. I need you to be done. Hey, I quit, okay? What a waste of time. I had a guy invite me to preach at a good-sized church in Australia. I said, why do I get the feeling I'm going to fly 22 hours to your church? And when you hand me the mic and I turn around, there's going to be a clock counting down from 38 minutes. He laughed and went, 32. Yeah. I ain't flying 22 hours to speak 32 minutes, my friend. How's Australia doing right now? See, nations rise and fall by the church. It's not the devil that destroys nations. It's weak churches that destroy nations. And if the church gets empowered, that's what revival is. The word revival is nowhere in the Bible. Yeah, but the concept's all through it. About God saying, if you call out to him, he'll breathe fresh life. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, repent of their sins, then I will hear from heaven and I will what? Revive their land. The word revival is not in the Bible. Yeah, revive is. So it's a tense on the word revive. Sorry, you flunked out of fourth grade English. The word revival is not in the Bible. Neither is the word Bible. What's your point? But the concept of revival is there. Amen. Times of refreshing will come from the Holy Ghost. Do you know whether you know it or not? I think most of you do know it. There's a strengthening coming into your spirit right now. I said there's a strengthening coming into your spirit right now. So this is a Sunday morning at a big church in America. And Sunday morning, I think my uncle left this part off of the video. There was a lady, the pastor wasn't there. There was a lady with cards, 25 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. And if you know my Uncle Ted, that's a bad idea. He was preaching casually, and casually walked up to her while preaching, took the cards out of her hand, ripped them in half, and handed them back to her. And she sulked out of the thing. So now I want you to watch this. They're supposed to be done by now. They're supposed to be done right at noon. And he feels the flow of the Holy Ghost come in. I'm not telling you to usurp the pastor, but the pastor wasn't there anyway. The pastor was gone and left him in charge. There is a religious thing you're going to have to break if you're going to do something in the ministry, where you don't let yourself get muzzled while you're treading the grain. I want you to watch this flow of the Holy Ghost, and this is going to illustrate many things perfectly. Notice how the people aren't leaving, and no one ever asked them to stand up. And as the release of miracles come, something comes into the crowd where it goes from dismissal time to you look around the room, and everyone's getting touched by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. As you watch this, many of you are going to get healed while you watch it. Everyone's going to have faith come into your spirit as you watch it. And you're going to leave out of this place rejoicing with the victory in Jesus' name. Go ahead and give the Lord another great hand clap. Go ahead and roll that video, Michael Ted. Watch this.
Praise God. Stand. Praise God. Stand, little sister. Could you hold her Bible and stuff, please? Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands. Hallelujah. Take a step of faith. Now listen, when the gifts of the Spirit start working, it's like throwing a stone in a pond, the ripples go out. As the ripples go out, that means you get a touch, even though I may not be speaking to you specifically. If you'll release your faith, God will touch you. Amen. Hold your glasses in your hand. You have two conditions. Even though you have glasses, what it doesn't reveal, you're starting to lose your sight in one of your eyes, and there's pressure building up. Isn't that right? True?
Surgery.
No, don't even go there. Haven't prayed for you yet.
Yes.
Can I take my coat off? Can I take my coat off? My coat off. Now listen, I was kidding.
Now they said they have a 15-minute grace period. It's just fine. Just let them pray for this lady, then we'll go. But I want you to watch not only the men, what the Lord touched the people, watch the change in the crowd when it happens. He's not working the crowd up. Good.
Can I take my coat off?
Having surgery.
No, don't even go there. Haven't prayed for you yet.
Yes.
Can I take my coat off? Now listen, I was kidding. We understand that a great church like this has staff who are taking care of your children. If you're a parent and you need to get your children, it's all right. But I'm going to pray for people for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Because the Lord told me, I saw you in my room when I prayed yesterday. You will not go blind in your right eye. You understand that? And whatever else the Lord would show, I receive it. You feel that? That's the Holy Ghost. I command that spirit of blindness to come out. She shall not lose her eyesight. Can you help her back up? Thank you. Everybody lift your hands. The anointing's here. Also, you've been struggling to get your sugar into the right level and your blood pressure. And the Lord, now I command your blood pressure to go to normal. Sugar level, stay in the normal level. The eye is healed. Vision. Someone shout vision. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. May I pray for you, ma'am? Come here, please. Man, six guys. This is a well-organized church. Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart. Take my hand. When you have a broken heart or you've lost something, it hurts. But the Lord is going to restore to you today what the devil took. You believe that?
Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, you almost said, well, what's the use of even serving God if these things happen? Isn't that right?
Yes.
You sat on the edge of a bed. I see the vision. And you said, Lord, if you're real, somehow show me that you're going to help me. Didn't you say that? It was in your bedroom. Isn't that right? And I wasn't there, but I am now by the Spirit. The power of God's on her. She shall not go to hell. She shall not turn her back on the Lord. She shall receive a touch. You ready? You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost and serve God with a great fire. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift your hand. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord shows me you've been faithful. This is your church. Yes. Is that right?
That's correct.
And somehow you've served Brother Parsley in the past. And by partnering and praying and believing, I see that. When you share with another, such as our dear brother Parsley, who we love, then there's a measure of that reward the Bible speaks of that comes on you. You believe that with me? I won't do this. Lay your hand right here on your chest. I command a supernatural anointing to come on your body today to strengthen you. To strengthen you. I don't understand it other than the Lord shows me sometimes the rhythm of your heart gets a little off. And your heart will race a little bit and you feel it. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And you've had physicals. You've been checked, but you have been kind of watching it. Would that be a good way to say it?
That's correct.
Kind of watching it. Wait on the Lord. Everybody lift your hands. Others of you that may have had issues with heart shall be healed. I command the rhythm of your heart to stay normal. When it does, your blood pressure will come to the right level and stay there, not up and down like you've been dealing with. Isn't that right? And then recently in the back of your neck and shoulder, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Arthritis has tried to come in your bones and to cripple you up in a form of rheumatism. But I curse all the itis brothers. Arthur and the whole crowd. Bursitis, all the itis. By impartation and laying on of hands, you there shall be healed in your body. Someone say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and give God the glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. We give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Someone say forever and forevermore. Everybody lay your hand on your body and receive healing if you need it. Strength if you need it. Moraba Santa Rabaha. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Power of God is here. Lift your hands. The anointing is here. Stand, little lady. Step out in the aisle. Look at me. You know I don't know you. As far as I know, we've never spoken. You need healed in your back, and the Lord's going to do it. Isn't that right? You have three discs that have deteriorated down to nothing. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, how do I know that unless God really does speak to me? And apparently, he still wants us to be here at 5 after 12 because he's still moving. Isn't that right? And then one of your hips now has begun to go bad. Hold from if you can, guys. Amen. Are those things so?
They are so.
What would you say if I told you that you shall receive the working of miracles now? I'm not going to pray for God to heal three bad discs. I'm going to ask him to give you all new ones. Hold her up. Yep. Right through here. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Where my hand is.
Yes,
you could have said, no, it's up higher, but it's right here.
Right there.
Do you feel that move?
Yes.
I believe he's doing it right now. Loose. Oh. Now, if someone touched you, that would be painful, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Watch this. Painful. You don't feel that, do you? Thank you, Lord, for three brand new discs and a new hip. Hallelujah. What's that?
I thought he forgot about me.
You thought he forgot about you. Watch this. Take my hands.
Take my hand. Take a step of faith. Now watch.
Quito, something's breaking. Something's breaking in Southern California. Cubrundo, Ikata, statewide breakthroughs this week. Statewide breakthrough this week in Jesus' name. It's not time to go backwards. It's not time to tread water. It's time for violent forward advancement. Mondo, one more minute, pray. Prondo repata, istodo. God's not finished with California. God's not finished with you. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it right now. That God can't do something about it right now. The quickening power of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you now. In this room. Pray on the East Coast at 12:30 in the morning. Wake some people up. Pray. Pray. This is revival. This is God's time for America. America shall be shaken one more time by the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My young friend here is wearing our ministry shirt. Come right around. Hand of the Lord's upon you. Hand of the Lord's upon you. Lift both hands right there. Close both eyes. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. You're going to be a mighty preacher. You're going to be a mighty preacher. You're not going to have to wait until you're older either. God's going to start using you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. I want any young lady, 25 or younger, that feels a stirring in your spirit right now for the ministry to come in line across the front at the altar. 25 and younger, I feel stirred in my spirit to give my life to full-time Christian service, to give my life to the work of the Lord. I want you to come and stand across the front right now. 25 or younger, woman. Pregosto. Ikandia. Well, that's you. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. I want to say something before I pray for. When you're in these meetings, remember, this isn't for life. This is a week. Endeavor to make this the most spiritual week. You see people leave because they have a kid. You know, they have school in the morning. Let me tell you something. School. How many people do you want to tick off in one night? I won't call it a waste of time. You need to learn how to read. You need to learn how to write and communicate. And about anything else can be Googled or YouTubed. I'm telling you. My daughter, going into quarter number 4, has 69 tardies and absences. She's the opposite of Lou Gehrig. Pulled her out all the time to Everin Service and Dr. Rodney Service. Let me tell you something. There's already people that flew up and put $500,000 in an account that she can access when she turns 18. You know how she got that? Not from being super good in school, from putting God first. Put God first. I'm not advocating for stupidity. You, what are you going to have your kid at a public school for? You got to take them out. They got school. To learn what? The gender spectrum? Put the priority on the thing that should have the priority. And again, anytime you say something like that, you're talking to the wrong people because everybody say, I'm here. Say, I'm here.
I'm here.
He has school.
Yeah. Let me know how it works out. And people wonder why their kids don't serve the Lord, because you've taught them. It's getting late, you know. There's the school first, job first, sports first, God somewhere down here. And it doesn't work like that. But those days are over. There's a large group of Californians that put God first. And because they put God first, they're going to enjoy the blessing of God. Come on, if that sounds like you, I'm putting God first. I'm giving God his rightful place. All right, young ladies, lift your hands to the Lord. As you do, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You're gonna be used mightily in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You know, if somebody from Media Matters gets the clip of this and plays it for your non-existent following, they say they criticize, you know, they look at them doing that to those kids. That's indoctrination. You know what I heard Willie George say one time? He said, I was 6 years old and walked into my house, and my mother told me to go to my grandma's house and walk across the field there because she had a knife and was going to kill herself. And then him and his brother found her one day bleeding out. He said, that was when I was 6 and he was 10. The devil didn't wait till I was 21 to start showing me his worst and making my life hell. And I don't know who makes Christians feel like they're doing something wrong to teach kids, get them full of the Holy Ghost and fire. But the devil's not waiting until they're 25. The devil's giving them his worst right now. And in this move of God, there will be a flow of the Holy Ghost that hits the young people and raises up a generation of sons and daughters that carry the power of God. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Amen. Lift your hands one more time. I see the presence of God on so many people. I see people that God has his hand on right now. You feel the Lord stirring you to come out from the ashes, to do great things, to change levels in your life and ministry. The devil over these last 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022, has gone out of his way to beat you down and crush your dreams and break your hope. But tonight, God has breathed new life into your spirit, awoken you to his great plan that he has for your life. This man in the second row with both your hands up, collared two-button shirt, have him step right onto the aisle. Lift both hands right there. Close both eyes. You don't have to come any closer. As you do, the power of God that's on you comes on you even stronger. In Jesus' name. Go right through. In the name of Jesus. There it is. More. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Never to be the same. Where's the other lady? This lady in the black with the white top? Yep, let me pray for you, right in the aisle. This guy in the Bass Pro Shop hat, Nike zip-up, step right into the aisle there. Lift both hands, close both eyes. That's the Holy Ghost. You're going to be used mightily of God, my friend. That's it. That's the fire. That fire, I'm telling you, did I not say, saith the Lord, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a vessel of honor, fit for a special work? As you've done that, so shall I visit you tonight. You shall be used in this last day move of God. You shall bring many out of darkness into light. Many out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shall praise the Lord. Lift your hands one more time from the top of your head to the sole. Now, if you stay after and ask me to pray for you, all I'm going to pray is that God cleans the wax out of your ears, because I'm praying right now. And if this prayer doesn't work, what's the one after the service? I don't save my special prayers for after church. In the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be whole of every sickness, every disease, every affliction, every deafness, every attack against the eyes, blindness, macular degeneration, glaucoma. Be thou made whole. Command your legs to move. Command you to sleep through the night without waking up in pain. Be delivered from fear. Be delivered from anxiety. Be delivered from every oppression of the devil. Now the time has come to deliver people from every oppression of the devil by the preaching of the word of faith. In Jesus' name. Just thank the Lord one more time with your hands lifted that it's already done. Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank Him out of your mouth. Let the fruit of my lips extol or praise or bless your name. Come on, thank Him intensely. Thanksgiving makes it multiply. Complaining makes it diminish. Thanksgiving makes it multiply. Give thanks for all things. In all things, for this is the will of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for strength. Thank you for divine health. Say it out loud. Thank you, Jesus, for healing. Thank you for strength. Thank you for divine health. Now, you don't have to go from sickness to sickness. You can get healed, never get sick again. It's a fact. I'll preach on it one day because the amen's trailed off. There's people here tonight, the last sickness you had will be the last one you ever see. There's people here tonight, the only time you'll go to the hospital for the rest of your life is to pray for someone else who's in the hospital or to watch one of your relatives push a baby out. But you will never be a patient again in Jesus' mighty name. Healing has come to your house today, and you're going to hold on to it. My friend in the polo shirt right here, step right out into the aisle. What a wonderful place. Lift both hands, close both eyes. I'm telling you, if I hear somebody say anything negative about California, I've been rebuking them before I even got here. Now I'll really rebuke them. Yeah, churches there are dead. I said, no, I actually met hundreds of great Christians. And I was only there for a week. California's in good shape. California's in good hands. It's not in Newsom's hands, it's in your hands. Whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loose in heaven. Him and his hairspray can't do a thing about it.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.